The first part, let me just review. We're talking about these private sins. The first thing, if you really want to get right with God, is be honest and repent of your sin. That's a critical item. It is really, really critical. If you want to grow in the Lord, stop playing games with private sin. Focus on getting to know God better. And you get to know God better primarily in His Word, and you're assisted greatly if you're in close fellowship with others that have a burden to grow in the knowledge of His Word. Learn to understand the consequences of sin and recognize that God does not, you know, in some respects it would have been probably easier to grow as a Christian if every time I sinned, instantly I would have had consequence. But you ever notice that isn't the way it works? But the one thing I do recognize after being saved many decades is that when I violate God's principles, there is a consequence if I don't repent. It often is not when I would expect it, but it comes every time. And it does for you too. Because our God is faithful. He loves us. He's not going to allow us to play games with Him without being challenged. Know the source of your sin and focus on loving God more. Loving Him more. How do you love Him more? By purposing to be the person that you ought to be. Primarily by loving others. And learn to see how your God-given potential can be used in the local church and in your life and in your family. You, if you came to know Jesus Christ, you have a purpose. You have a calling. And it is your responsibility to be looking and understanding and trying to understand what God would have you to do. And then be about it with all your heart. Okay, we're to point seven, new material. Focus on caring for and about unsaved friends and family. There are a couple verses, there's lots of verses in this, and I chose ones that I haven't frequently used. This one is in Matthew chapter 15, actually chapter 5. I'm going to read 16 first, but then in a moment I'm going to read 15 because they tie together. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Okay, here this gets really practical. What can you do that would glorify God, that would shine the light of glory towards God? It would be a reflection of who He is. What can you do? Tell the truth. That's one. And not, don't be a liar. Tell the truth. Lee. Yes. Live an example. Oh, share the truth. Share the word of God. Gloria. Gloria, you have the softest voice. I don't stand a chance of hearing it. I see your mouth moving, but I don't know what you're saying. Meet their needs. That it's so true. If you see a need, meet the need. Harold. Love the unlovable. Critical item. Do good to those that do you wrong. That's right. We're to love our enemies and respond to them differently. Offer them. Now, let me give you these other verses and then we'll come back and I'm going to give you a very specific challenge here. Samuel, it's 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 14. It says, this is David and Nathan were talking. Nathan had confronted King David with his sin. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme, the children also who is born, the child who is also born to you shall surely die. And maybe I shouldn't just shared it out of context like this. David, the king, had sinned greatly by committing adultery, and he had even arranged for the death of this woman's husband. And there was a baby coming. And ultimately, Nathan confronts him and he confesses his sins. So we have this brought to the forefront. Now, what is stated is an important truth. Nathan said, now listen, wicked people, people without Christ, think less of God because of your behavior. I'll tell you one way. You know, we talked about speaking the truth and sharing the truth, caring, loving the unlovely. I'll tell you what, don't be ungodly. Don't respond wickedly. You understand that? That's just as much a part. Don't make excuses for anger. Don't make excuses for pouting all the time. Don't make excuses for being lazy. Let's just be the people that God has called us to be. I'm going back to the 15th verse. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You know what it's talking about? You and I ought to be so aware of the phenomenal blessing of coming to know Jesus Christ that it is who we are. And we tell others about it. We don't hide it. We don't try to, well, I'm just going to live a good life and hopefully they can guess about Jesus Christ. No, we start talking about Jesus. Now, before I go any further, when I think about this, I want to challenge all of us. I want to challenge you tomorrow. Not the next 6 days, tomorrow. I want you prayerfully, pray tonight, Lord, expose to me, show me 3 people that I could be an encouragement to, that I could be a blessing to. You look for them, and you go about the day, and you look for 3 different individuals you can come alongside and be a blessing to, an encouragement to. You might want to just write out some notes. Just write out some notes. Now, what would you want when you were really down? What would you really love to hear? For instance, if you're, I think my parents have been dead for several years. What note would I wish my mom or dad would have written me so I could pull it out of a file and read it now? Well, write that note to somebody else and look for them and ask God to bring, you understand what I'm talking about? Words of encouragement. If you don't want to talk to them, write out a note and look for somebody that you sense the prompting of God on your heart to say, that's the person. And I want you to go over and be a blessing to them. Encourage them. I'll tell you what, there is so much negative, all you have to do is ride one of our local buses. It is so negative, and if you're looking for a way in which you can find somebody that needs to be encouraged, jump on the 5. Ride the 5 from down here downtown. I mean, it really is a tragic testimony of our culture. And what I'm challenging you to do is specifically be a blessing to 3 people. How many of you are willing to take that challenge? I am. Okay, now that I want to hear next Wednesday what happens. And I'm not talking about taking 3 or 6 days to get around to 3 people. I'm talking about looking for 3 people tomorrow, and I want you to be God's blessing. I want you to pray about it. Lord, how can I be a blessing in the life of someone else tomorrow? And go with it with all your energy. Learn more about Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. You know, one of the things, I was trying to think of ways in which you could do this. I didn't put it down here, but I thought of doing this. Read the crucifixion in the Gospels, every one of the Gospels. Just find out where it starts and read those chapters. And meditate on what he did and recognize he did it for you. And that one who did that is the Son of God who had come down from the throne rooms of heaven. He didn't have to be in this situation. But he did it because he loved us. That's really, really quite stunning. Isaiah 53:3 says, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. You know, one of the things that's fascinating about this verse, somebody else told me this, and I started noticing that he was right on. I looked for pictures. I went on the internet and started looking for paintings and pictures of Jesus. I never found a one where Jesus is smiling. Now, I know we don't have any photographs of them and that sort of thing, but every single one of them describes this verse. But do you recognize that as the Son of God, he was at perfect peace with life? He unquestionably would have modeled, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'd say rejoice. He would have gone through life a happy person. He did, even though he faced some very difficult situations. In the end, he was rejected. That's true. But I say that to say, you know what? We need to be really careful that we aren't moaning and groaning all the time. Seriously. I think about, you know, I spend a fair amount of time at New Hope. A good share of the guys are pretty negative. And, it's kind of hard. We don't have to be like this. We can be uplifting. One of the things that is amazing to me is that I know individuals that have worked in secular employment for most of their life, and then they finally get an opportunity to work in a Christian environment, and they're almost always extremely disappointed. Do you know why? Because they see the sinfulness. They expect people to get along. And even in Christian ministries, people have a tendency to be negative. May it not be said of us. Can you purpose tomorrow to say, you know what, tomorrow I'm not talking about your circumstances. I'm not talking about the fact that you might get up and even break a toe by stubbing it on the foot of the bed or something. I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm talking independent of circumstances. Would you purpose to be joyful? Because the truth is, if you know Jesus Christ, we have a lot to be excited about. We can take our last breath and life gets better. That can't be said for others. When I think about the sacrifices of Jesus, I think of Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I can't remember who it was. One of you said, reach out and love the unlovely or something to that effect. Was that Harold, was that you that said that? Well, look at what God the Father did. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that we were yet sinners. He died for us. He had Christ died for us. His Son died for us. And his Son was in the plan. They were all favorable to this. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, in other words, it cost him his life, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of the Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now receive the reconciliation. It's talking about how we, through Jesus Christ, what he has done, we can be part of the family of God. Now, I want you to note in this, not only that, but we also rejoice in God. Now, can you read that without being a hypocrite? The reality is many, many, many people that profess to know Jesus Christ and do, in fact, know Jesus Christ, are not rejoicing in him at all. There is no testimony. There is no evidence. You would get convicted by your peers, and it ought not to be. That's why I say, one, let's purpose to be a blessing to at least three people tomorrow. Let's also purpose to get up and be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord. Be a wonderful testimony of joy in the midst of whatever circumstances come our way. And the last one, faithfully reflect on the reality of eternity. Particularly, you know, the ones that I find the hardest to witness to now are particularly my brothers and my sister. Why? Because I've witnessed to them a lot of times. And let me say, it hasn't always gone very well. Okay? the reality is it's gone very poorly at times. But having said that, this point ought to cause me to not want to sin in any way, shape, or form. And it also ought to force me to really be a bold witness. Because Scripture tells us a truth. It's appointed unto men once to die. Connus received an absolutely horrible phone call. But the truth is that a phone call similar to that, a phone call to someone else saying that we have taken our last breath, is ahead for you and I. It's also a phone call that is ahead for everyone you know. We're not going to live forever in the physical sense. But here's another truth. In John chapter 2, verse 14, I have written to you, Father, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Talking about knowing Jesus Christ. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He's talking about believers. So he's writing this to believers. Believers who are having victory in their lives. Now look at what it goes on to say. Do not love the world nor the things of the world. That's that new car you were thinking about. Or that nicer house or whatever that is. We're not to be focused there. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. The Word of God tells us this. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all our mind, with all of our soul. That's talking about a total commitment that you and I are to have. It goes immediately into the next concept. The second is likened onto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I could not be challenging you with more conviction in my own heart. You need and I need to look around at those that are our neighbors. Those that God has brought into our sphere. And tomorrow, I want you to look for three people that you can be an encouragement to. You can be a blessing to. You can just come alongside. Maybe they have been fighting with you for a long time, and you come along and say, you know what? I just want you to know that I love you, and I was praying for you this morning. Is there anything I can do to help you? Or maybe, would you forgive me? I have been rude over the past, and I don't want to do that anymore. As a matter of fact, what can I do to be a blessing to you today? You see my point? Don't we all need this? Would you not love to have someone come up and be an encouragement to you tomorrow? I would. I know. I see it in my grandkids. You know, one of the things that I've started to do with my youngest grandkids that I'm around a lot, every time they walk into the room that I'm in, or any time that I walk into the room that they're in, I'm teaching them to say, "Hello, Grandpa." Acknowledge my presence. It has been amazing how that has set a different tone. Here's what it is doing. Those guys in their little worlds are not supposed to be living as if they're the center of it. You understand? And neither are we. We are to be conscious of people entering and leaving our presence instead of just living for ourselves. These are pretty specific challenges.